It's the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by 90 Min, and we are live.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and on this edition, we got a number of things to discuss, a number of issues to tackle. We're going to be discussing the exclusive interview that Sven Mislintat gave to The Athletic and the comments he made with regards to Matteo Guendouzi, Lucas Torreira and Mikel Arteta, as well as that. We'll be reviewing Mikel Arteta's press conference ahead of the big UEFA Europa League clash against Olympiacos coming up tomorrow. Of course, the second leg takes place next week, but the first leg kicks off tomorrow night in Athens. So we're going to be discussing all of that on this edition of the show. As well as that, I'll be taking your questions and comments from the live chat box. I look forward to interacting with you guys there. Quick reminder, if you haven't seen it already, our previous episode. So if you're listening via the audio, it's the last episode on the feed. And if you're watching via video, then it's the last video on the channel. And that was our preview of the game between Olympiacos and Arsenal. And I was joined by Kostas Lianos, who is a Greek football reporter, worked for a number of publications here in the UK, currently working with The Sun, has been with the Express, and is a massive Olympiacos fan, as well as an expert on Greek football. And he provided some excellent insight into the side that Arsenal will be facing. Now, of course, if you check that out, you'll know just how good they are, whether they've improved from last season, the players to watch out for. So it's a really, really interesting episode. I really enjoyed recording it with Kostas. So check that out if you haven't already. Let's have a look at this Sven Mislintat exclusive then. So it was just over 2 years ago that Sven Mislintat announced he was leaving his role as Arsenal's head of recruitment. He's gone back to VfB Stuttgart, with whom he won promotion back to the Bundesliga in his first full season in charge. Now, Sven Mislintat was famed for identifying lots of top talents, lots of talents that went on to enjoy really, really good careers in the Bundesliga and beyond. And Arsenal brought him in at a time where they were looking to take a bit of a different direction in terms of the recruitment policy. That's what Sven Mislintat was brought in for. In this exclusive interview with Raphael Honigstein, who I'm sure you will know, Raphael Honigstein's been on the Chronicles as well. Once upon a time, long time ago when the podcast first started, but he was a guest on one of the episodes. He kind of discussed sort of lots of positive things about Arsenal and how Arsenal were almost the model for what Borussia Dortmund were trying to do. He talked a lot about Arsene Wenger's influence. And when he was asked by Raphael Honigstein what made the interest of Arsenal so special, he said, "Getting approached by Arsene Wenger was a huge honour and accolade for me. Arsenal had been the benchmark, my personal blueprint when I started at Dortmund. They were a role model in 2006, playing one-touch football with young talents unearthed in France and elsewhere. They developed them and sold them on for good money. They weren't yet playing the Barcelona-inspired possession football. It was fast, vertical, quick transitions, exactly the kind of football that fits Dortmund at its best with an exemplary recruitment strategy." He talked about the fact that Arsene Wenger had made an art form out of doing a lot with comparatively little. So, yeah, he was full of praise for Arsene Wenger and the influence that he had and how chuffed he was essentially to be, you know, contacted by the great man and ultimately brought to the club in the end. He was asked why he left Arsenal in the end. And there was a lot of speculation about this. You know, we've heard time and time again that, you know, he fell out with with this person and he fell out with that person. But this is what Sven Mislintat had to say on it. He said that he joined Arsenal to work with Arsene and to prove himself in the best of competitions, the Premier League. He said his plan was to learn from one of the best managers in football history, support and challenge him to win as many games as possible. And the day he would stop his career as a manager, maybe watch him change to the board level to preserve the values and philosophy of Arsenal and his work, ambition and legacy. But then he talked about Arsene Wenger leaving and that a few months later, even Gazidis left to become the CEO at Milan. And he goes on to say, at that point, Arsenal restructured its leadership. He says he applied for the newly created technical director role and Raul Sanley and Vinay Venkatesham, who succeeded Ivan Gazidis in a co-leadership role at Arsenal, decided to go for somebody else. He then said, we then agreed in a very respectful way that I would leave, all entirely amicable. So, you know, he talks about that. He doesn't slag anybody off. He doesn't slag Arsenal off, even though, you know, he's obviously applied for a role. He's not been given it. He's not really wanted to stick a knife in, which, you know, I respect. Says it was entirely amicable and there's no reason, you know, not to believe him. In terms of Stuttgart and Arsenal and the relationship between the two now, obviously there's a player that links the pair and that is Kostandinos Mavrobanos, a Greek defender who joined Arsenal, is currently on loan out there. And he was asked about him and how he's getting on. And he said he has all the hardware and all the software to be a great defender. He's been unfortunate. He's had a lot of injuries. A pubic bone inflammation kept him out more or less for 1.5 years. The moment we thought we could play him, he tore his meniscus. It's important for us to get him fully match fit. If he can stabilize physically, he's undoubtedly a Bundesliga level defender. He's one of the fastest centre-backs in the league alongside Deo Upamecano, a super guy, a model professional. You have to admire his energy, all the strength it took to get over his injuries, and we're super happy that he's been a regular starter in recent weeks. We would like to keep him on loan one more season if possible, but that will be down to Arsenal. It's interesting because when it comes to Mavrobanos, you're looking at a player who has clearly been, as Mislintat says, very unfortunate with injuries, very unfortunate with the way things have panned out for him in his career to date. But, you know, is what he's showing at Stuttgart enough to suggest that he warrants a place in the Arsenal squad going forward? Should we allow him to join Stuttgart again on loan with the view to him potentially joining them, you know, permanently later on, or Arsenal being able to sell him and raise cash some other way, by selling him to another club? I don't know. It's really difficult to say. At this moment in time, I haven't seen enough from Mavrobanos to suggest that he comes back into the squad. And you also got to consider that aside from the players we currently have at the club, is the whole William Saliba thing as well. You know, another player who there are question marks around what role he's going to play next season. So I feel like we're really well stocked in the central defensive area, and maybe that is going to work against Mavrobanos in terms of his chances of returning of returning to the club. Mikel Arteta came up in the conversation. Obviously, the conversation was about Matteo Guendouzi. Mislintat was asked, you know, about Guendouzi, obviously a player that he played a part in bringing to the Emirates Stadium. And he said that, you know, he asked Mislintat's thoughts on Paul Dardai's comments, the Hertha Berlin boss who called him, who says that he plays adolescent football. And this is what Sven had to say. He says, I disagree with Pal. If you're not playing Matteo in midfield, it must be a very strong midfield. He has the personality needed to demand every ball in tight situations and has great vision to play vertical and every other angle. That's his real strength. As a teenager from League Two, he played 48 games for Arsenal in his first season. I assure you, you're not able to survive that amount of Premier League caps playing adolescent football. He said he's a young central midfielder. In that position, players reach their peak at 27, 28. He obviously doesn't get everything right, but he plays with a decisiveness and quality that make him an extraordinary player. Dardai criticised him for losing the ball in the box against RB Leipzig, but we want players who are brave on the ball, who can move past the pressure. Losing the odd ball is part of that. If it happens, you have to ask for the next ball. And that was what Matteo did, and I love to see it. You shouldn't try to change his game, but work on the details to improve him. If you're able to do so, you make him a monster in midfield. Denny was kind of, you know, he was asked about why, you know, maybe he's not in the squad and why Mikel Arteta is not a fan. And Sven Mislintat went on to share his view on it. And he said, I respect Mikel a lot. I'd love to talk to him one day to understand his reasons for sending Matteo as well as Lucas Torreira on loan and tell him my view in relation to their qualities. But it's his decision, of course. My personal opinion remains that Matteo would still add some extra qualities to Arsenal's midfield, like Lucas could. Their market values increased hugely after their debut season. He was also asked a little bit about Unai Emery and why that maybe didn't work out for him, but he didn't really get into that. He said it's impossible to make a proper evaluation. I left Arsenal in February 2019. I think you can't say he did not do well in his first season, which was the only one I was together with him at Arsenal. I can't give an opinion on his second season without having the insight of being there. So really interesting that from Sven Mislintat. So that's pretty much what he had to say in this exclusive interview with Raphael Honigstein. Some interesting points. It's interesting to see that in his opinion, you know, the likes of Matteo Guendouzi and Lucas Torreira could still offer something to this side. I guess I would counter that by saying that when it comes to Matteo Guendouzi in particular, and we don't really know, you know, what the deal is with Lucas Torreira, you know, you'd assume that he's just not a fit for what Arsenal want to do. But when you're talking about Matteo Guendouzi, you have to kind of just, I think you have to put his footballing ability aside, because I think we can all agree that there is some of that there. The issue has been that his attitude is just not quite right. You know, his attitude has been the problem when it comes to Mikel Arteta. That's been the issue between the player and the manager and nothing else. So, you know, Sven Mislintat can say all these positive things about Matteo Guendouzi, the player, and to a degree, you know, I agree with a lot of it. It's just that, you know, he's not quite professional enough, I guess is the right word. And I'm not the only one, you know, to say this. I'm not the only one to have that, you know, that opinion of him. You know, ex-players that have played with him, you know, have mentioned it. Mikel Arteta clearly feels it, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have moved him on the way he did. So yeah, there's a lot to the whole Matteo Guendouzi thing. And I think it's very easy for Sven Mislintat to sit there and say, you know, yeah, he'd add something to the midfield. But if you're not actually present, if you're not actually there, and you're not actually privy to, you know, to what was going on behind the scenes, it's impossible, I think, to really make a fair comment on why he's been bombed out and why he's been moved on. As I say, I don't think it's anything to do with Matteo Guendouzi's ability as a footballer. It's clearly something else. It's clearly something to do with that, his attitude. And that's something that Mikel Arteta regards, I guess, as a bit of a non-negotiable and something that he will not tolerate, rightly or wrongly, but that's the way he is. And he's not happy with him. In regards to Lucas Torreira, as Oz says in the chat, hi, Harry, hope all is well. Wasn't Torreira's heart set on Italy or Spain? Clearly doesn't want to be at Arsenal. Yeah, with Torreira, it just didn't work out. You know, he didn't settle in, didn't make London a home, and really struggled with that. And that can play a massive part. You know, we've heard a lot of ex-players over the years talk about how they went somewhere and it didn't quite work out and they felt homesick. And you can't underestimate how much that can impact on their game. So, yeah, with Torreira, it just didn't work out. But again, you know, this is why you have to take Sven Mislintat's comments with a pinch of salt. And listen, I've got a huge amount of respect for Sven Mislintat. I really do rate him. I think he's fantastic at what he does. I just think that you know, the reason you have to take these comments with a pinch of salt is because for a lot of it, he's discounting and he's ignoring certain elements. And when it comes to Torreira, the element that he's completely glazed over is the fact that the player just wasn't happy in the UK, wasn't happy in London, and that ultimately impacted his performances. When it comes to Guendouzi, the point that he's glazed over is the point that Guendouzi's attitude was not quite right, and it's why he's gone. You know, we all know that, you know, when you look at that, we'd all rather have Matteo Guendouzi in the side over Mohamed Elneny. You know, I certainly would, in terms of their ability and their, you know, the way they play the game. But ultimately, it's an attitude thing. And Mohamed Elneny is an exemplary professional, and Matteo Guendouzi is the complete opposite. And that's what's seen them kind of swap places in the rankings at Arsenal ultimately. So, yeah, is what it is. Let's see what else you guys are saying in the live chat. Big thank you to Wes Bird, who has to sign off, but thank you for joining us as always. Really, really appreciate it. M. Letford says, listening to the way Sven articulates himself, it feels like we lost a real good asset. What else have we got here? Ashton says, Mavrobanos and Sogradis were the best defenders, but not as strong on the ball. This will also count against Ballard and McGuinness. Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at their ability to make blocks, to make challenges, to put their body on the line, their desire to fight, to battle for the team, and you can never question that. But when you're wanting to play the ball out from the back, then, you know, it is difficult, isn't it, to not take into consideration their limitations in that particular department. So I think, you know, as a manager sometimes, and we were talking about it on the podcast earlier on, we were talking about it with Sogradis in particular, just because he doesn't fit the plans, it doesn't make him a shit player all of a sudden. It just means that he doesn't fit in the plan. He doesn't fit in the identity that you're trying to reach and you're trying to achieve. And that's why it doesn't work. Archangel, talking about Guendouzi, says his attitude wasn't right according to Arteta. Yeah, but I mean, Archangel, like, I get that, right? I completely get that, you know, but what evidence do we have that suggests the opposite? I've heard, you know, I've had an ex-Arsenal player who played with him at Lorient. Jeremy Aliadier was on the show a few months ago, and even he said that when he was, and he's got no reason to say it, he was a former teammate of Matteo Guendouzi's, and even he said, you know, that you always got this impression that his attitude was going to hold him back and prevent him from achieving what he clearly is capable of achieving in the game. So, you know, there's been a lot of people that have talked about Matteo Guendouzi's attitude. You've got the Hertha Berlin boss now, you know, calling him an adolescent, you know, so it's not one person telling us that Matteo Guendouzi's attitude is not right. It's not one person's word and we've all jumped on it. It is literally coming from all directions when Matteo Guendouzi is concerned. And that's got to mean something, has it not? Look, I get people are on the fence about Mikel Arteta. I get they question some of the decisions he makes. I question some of the decisions he makes. But I think in the case of Matteo Guendouzi, all the evidence suggests that the issue is with the Frenchman. And rather than anybody else. And, you know, he's got to take responsibility for that. And he's got to make sure that he can cut that out of his game. Because if he doesn't, as I've already said, you're looking at a very talented young man who probably won't achieve his career goals off the back of that. And that's really sad. You know, it's always sad to see players not fulfilling their potential. Let's have a look at what Mikel Arteta had to say in his press conference ahead of the trip to Olympiacos. And he was asked about a number of subjects, of course. And it kicked off, as you'd imagine, with the talk about last season's encounter between the two sides. And of course, Arsenal were dumped out in dramatic fashion by the Greek Super League champions. And you know, Mikel Arteta spoke about the need to put that behind us, you know, and how difficult it was to pick people up after that game off the back of that result. He also went on to say that in his eyes, we're a better team than last year. I know a lot of people will automatically jump up and down and go absolutely nuts at that comment because our league position doesn't suggest we are. But I agree that we are more resilient as a team. I agree that in the last few months as an attacking force, we've improved. It's not been an improvement enough to see us close the gap and you know, get back to where we need to be in terms of the Premier League table. But there has been an improvement there, as I always say. I'm not flip-flopping on that. It's something I've always talked about. He was asked about the North London derby coming up at the weekend and where his priorities lie now and whether the Europa League was the one he'd be looking at. And he said, look, you know, we have to manage the squad, but tomorrow's the main game. And he talked about the fact that if we pick up a positive result tomorrow, that will obviously help, you know, on Thursday evening, that will help us with confidence going into the North London derby and subsequently help us in the second leg as well. He was asked about the playing out from the back. Obviously, we saw the good and bad of it in the game against Burnley. You know, we saw a goal come from luring Burnley out 3-4 passes down the line. Arsenal score a goal, having played in between the lines and having progressed the ball forward really effectively. But we also saw the worst of it when Granit Xhaka found himself in an awkward situation just inside the box and essentially kicked the ball against Chris Wood, who ran away in celebration after the ball cannoned off of him and went into the back of the net. So we saw the good and bad of it. But Mikel Arteta, he wasn't completely sort of one way or the other on it. You know, I'd have expected him to say, this is the way I want to play. My players know that. They're doing what I'm asking them to do, and we understand that there's a risk to that. But I didn't expect him to say what he said, which was kind of a little bit more along the lines of, well, if the pass isn't on, then you don't play it. And if we're in a what he called a no-play zone, then we don't play. Which seems a little bit more of a common sense approach. And this is where I go back to the point where I was talking about Bern Leno after the game. And, you know, I know that Granit Xhaka is ultimately the main culprit here and is responsible for that goal. But that's kind of what I was alluding to when I was saying that as a goalkeeper, you probably have to just get rid of that. You know, you have to be, you have to be a little bit more smart in those situations. You know, Jens Lehmann said a comment years and years ago when he was sort of at Arsenal and he kind of made this comment and it's always stuck with me where he said, you don't let the circumstances play you. You play the circumstances. It was something along those lines. And those circumstances for me were circumstances that we should never have found ourselves in. And having found ourselves in those circumstances, both players had the opportunity to do the right thing, the safe thing, and neither took that opportunity. They both kind of just robotically did what is being asked of them on the training ground. And that led to obviously the goal going in. So I know a lot of people are going to say that I'm trying to pin it all on Berlin. I'm not. I think both of them were responsible. And as I said, both of them had the opportunity to do the right thing, but neither did. And that's where we are. He was also, you know, they tried to draw him out on something that Sean Dyche had said, where Sean Dyche had obviously had a little bit of a moan about Alexander Lacazette screaming off the back of a tackle, and Match of the Day had a bit of a laugh about it as well here in the UK, where they highlighted it and they were joking about it in the studio, which I thought was in poor taste, if I'm honest. But anyway, that's another debate. But they tried to draw him out on Sean Dyche's comments, and they tried to get a response from Mikel Arteta. But Mikel Arteta did really, really well not to give them nothing. And he literally shut it down. He said, I don't comment about other managers. I don't comment about other teams' players. I don't comment about anything. And that's how it's going to stay. So he shut that down. Asked for an update on Emile Smith-Rowe. And he said that he's close to returning and that he was due to have a full session today to see where he's at. So he's in contention to face Olympiacos, but there's no guarantee that he will be ready yet. So we're going to have to wait and see on that. Hold fire on that. Then the discussion of the individual errors come up and how you cut them out and what you do about it and how Arsenal move forward. And I guess Mikel looks at this the way I looked at this. And I spoke about it, I can't remember when it was, maybe a week or so ago, where I talked about the individual errors and the fact that although they're frustrating and they're annoying and they're costing us points at the moment, the positive spin on it is that it's something that's within our control to fix. And Mikel Arteta basically said that as well. And he said, you know, it's easier to fix things that we can control. And he said, it's not because we're coming up against opponents that we can't live with, that we're losing points at the moment. And that's a really good point. And it's a point that he needs to be hammering home to the players, because it prevents people losing confidence. Actually, it should be, we need to strive to do better in this particular area, rather than, you know, you're a bunch of clowns and this is just, this just keeps happening. You know, yeah, to a degree, some of them you can argue are and should be moved on from the club when the opportunity presents itself. But right now there are players, and confidence needs to be restored. You know, you could see how much it impacted Granit Xhaka at the weekend. I've never seen him hide in a game as much as he did in that game against Burnley post the error. And, you know, that's what you don't want to see. You know, you want to see your players go there, if they do make a mistake, dust themselves off and get up and get on with their normal game. And that didn't happen with Xhaka the other day. He was asked about Sogradis, of course, recently left the club to join Olympiacos, and whether his inside knowledge of Arsenal would be a bit of a game changer here. Sogradis has played that down in the Greek press. He's talked about the fact that he hasn't really had to talk a lot about Arsenal, because Pedro Martins's coaching staff are that good that they're well aware of what Arsenal's do, their weaknesses, their strengths, etc. And I've got to agree with that. You know, Pedro Martins is a very good tactician, very good manager, and I'd be very, I'm sure they're going to take some encouragement and ideas from the things that Sogradis has to say. But is it, you know, is it going to be enough to turn the tide? Mikel Arteta says it's, you know, there's no super secrets that he's going to tell them, and that's going to change the game. So yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting, obviously, to see him playing against us. He'll be determined. Arteta said it'd be good to see him. He's loved by all and he's a pleasure to work with. And you know, we've always had that impression of him, haven't we? He's very well liked, in contact with a lot of the current players still. He's made no secret of that. And I'm sure you'll see some warm embraces between some of our current crop and him, when they meet on the field, on Thursday night. But of course, once the game kicks off, there's no friends on the pitch. And that's just how it is. The final thing that I want to highlight from the press conference was talk about Martin Ødegaard. And again, not for the first time, he talked about how well he settled, his behaviour, his attitude, work rate, said it's all phenomenal. And he's overall very happy with the player. He was asked as well if he wanted to keep him, but he kind of diverted away from that, Mikel Arteta. And I think rightly so. At this stage, you know, you can't really be talking about that. You can't really be opening cans of worms with regards to transfers, when the focus has to be clearly on other things right now. Right, that concludes the press conference. It's time for your questions. Get your questions in the live chat. I know there's been some in there that I've missed, because the chat has continued to move forward. So if you have put a question in already and I haven't got around to answering it, and you want to chuck it in again, feel free to do so. Quick reminder, if you haven't already, make sure you smash the like button. Let's check in. Let's just check in where we are at on the likes. We've got over 150 of you watching us at the moment, but in terms of likes, we've only got 35. So let's get that up to as close to 100 as we possibly can. It doesn't cost a thing, and it really, really helps the channel. So get your likes in. Also, if you want to become a member of the channel and support me to bring you more content, then please feel free to click the link in the description. And I'd love to have you on board. So check out the benefits that are available. And we'd love to have you on board if it's something that you want to do. Of course, it's not compulsory. Members content, we've got a bit of members content dropping a little bit later on as well. Was going to release it earlier, but then there's not enough of a gap between this show and the last one, so I'm going to put it out later instead. So stay tuned for that if you're a member. Also going to be back at 10 p.m. tonight for the social club. So looking forward to that one. And we're going to be talking Champions League, the new proposal for the Champions League format that the Juventus chief seems to be behind. And we'll also be discussing the fallout from Juventus's exit last night and whatever happens in tonight's game as well. So plenty to get our teeth into. What else have we got here? Right, let's pick out some comments. some questions. Sorry. Junior Gunner says, would you take Nabil Fekir, providing he's over the fitness concerns? Not really. He's never been a player that I've been overly big on, Nabil Fekir. And I know there was a lot of hype around him when he was at Lyon. And I know he was very close to a move to Liverpool. And that fell through due to sort of medical issues. Look, me personally, at a time like this where money is tight and risks should be minimal, I don't think I'd take a risk on Nabil Fekir. No, because it's not just the fitness for me. He's not anybody that's majorly inspired me either. And it's a combination of the two that makes me feel that it's probably not the right move for Arsenal. You know, I'd happily be proven wrong because, you know, there'll be people out there that have seen a lot more of Nabil Fekir than I have. But my view on it is no, I'm not interested. Syed Abdullah says, what do you think the difference between Odegaard and Smith Rowe? I think Odegaard's at a better level than Smith Rowe right now. I do. You know, Smith Rowe's been fantastic. I think he's dropped off a little bit lately. People have questioned whether Odegaard's coming in was going to be damaging to Emile Smith Rowe. But at the end of the day, we couldn't rely on Emile Smith Rowe because of these injuries, because of the fitness issues. And so we had to do it. You know, Mikel Arteta had to prioritize the team over the players' individual development. And he's done that, and he's brought Martin Odegaard in. And I think with Odegaard, there's been some good games, there's been some not so good games. But I think overall, you could probably just about tell that he's at a slightly higher level than Emile Smith Rowe. And, you know, I like both players, but I do think that Odegaard is just a little bit ahead of him right now. Yo-Yo says, in light of Mislintat's words on Mateo and Torreira, do you believe the development of Arteta is greater than all the players that have been loaned out since his promotion? Do I believe the development under Arteta is greater than all the players that have been loaned out since his promotion? I'm a little bit confused about that question. Do I think that the players that have stayed with Arteta have developed better than the ones that have gone out? Is that what you're saying? I think some of them have developed in a good way. You know, Bukayo Saka's continued his development. I think just touching on Smith Rowe, I know I said he's been a little bit off the boil lately, but he's done well under Mikel Arteta. I think there are other players that have got better under him as well. Maybe not even just necessarily some of the younger players. I think there are other players in the squads, more senior ones, who have benefited from Mikel Arteta being around. As I said, Mateo, it's an attitude problem. That's the issue. There's a clash there, and that is why he's not there. You know, that is why he's not at the Emirates Stadium at the moment. It's not because of his ability. I genuinely believe that. With Torreira, I think there was more to it than that. I think his personal sort of feelings and emotions and circumstances didn't help. And that's why he never really fulfilled his potential at Arsenal. But, you know, I don't really have an issue. Look, if Matteo Guendouzi's attitude stinks, I don't really have an issue with him being moved on. You know, we talked a lot about the need to change the culture at the football club. So then we can't talk about that and talk about the need to do that and then give our manager criticism when he takes steps towards achieving that, or steps that he feels at least will take us towards achieving that. So I'm not bothered about them being out on loan. I don't think either of them would have had a dramatic impact on our season in terms of where we're at now, if I'm honest. Jay Dubia says, do you think Guendouzi is falling into that Rabiot mold? Seems a very similar path. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I actually find it strange that Rabiot plays for Juventus, man. I watch him and I watch a lot of Serie A and I just don't really get it. Scored a really good header yesterday in the Champions League. But other than that, I just don't really get it about Rabiot. I never really have. You know, he's okay. He's decent. But is he a world-class midfielder? No, not for me. And Guendouzi has the ability, in my opinion, to be better than Rabiot if he can get his head right. But that's the key. Get your head right. And he hasn't done that of yet. And that's where the concern is. Anuj says, one question, maybe a little bit off topic, but how do we sort out our individual errors that lead to goals? I know we can't blame Arteta as he's not playing, but surely he needs to do something. Anuj, is difficult because there are players that are just error prone in that group, right? You know, the reaction to Granit Xhaka's mistake the other day was overblown because he's done it before. The reaction every time David Luiz makes a mistake is overblown because it's happened before. When you compare that to the reaction to Cedric's mistake not so long ago at Aston Villa, the reaction was very different. So these are error-prone players. These are players who do switch off sometimes. And I'm not sure you can do a great deal about that as a manager other than not pick them. But when you don't have alternatives, and Mikel doesn't, and you're still working with a group that you see as being part of your future, or half a group that you see as part of being your future and half a group that you're just having to make do with, it's very difficult, isn't it, to always leave those players out. So, yeah, I'm not really sure what the answer is to that, you know, other than to try and work on concentration, to try and keep people switched on. I don't really know what the answer is to that. But you're right when you say it's difficult to blame Mikel Arteta, because, you know, people will say, oh, well, he shouldn't have played Granit Xhaka. Well, actually, Granit Xhaka is still, it, by most people's calculation, a first teamer and a regular starter in this Arsenal side. So it's a bit difficult to give him too much stick, I think. Brad Richardson asks, if Guendouzi was at Partey's level, would you accept his attitude? I'm not saying I would 100% accept it, but I'd be more open to accepting it. I mean, you look over history and there'll be lots of players whose attitude wasn't quite right. You know, someone like Zlatan Ibrahimovic is a prime example of that, in terms of the arrogance, the cockiness, that, you know, thinking he's better than he... Well, I'm not going to say thinking he's better than he is, because he's fantastic, but thinking that he's above everybody else. You know, if you think about Manchester United in their glory days, and Roy Keane was obviously a difficult character to handle. You know, from what I understand, Dennis Bergkamp at times had disagreements with Arsene Wenger. But you learn to move past those things if those players are bringing you a lot to the team. And as a manager, you have to be clever sometimes and realize that, yeah, you might not agree with everything this guy does, but to a degree you need him. And that's good management. Mikel Arteta has obviously felt that Matteo Guendouzi is not so good that he can just put up with his shit every week and that be absolutely fine. So that's the difference, isn't it? You're talking about a player that you, as a manager, probably feel you need, and one that you feel is actually dispensable. And Matteo Guendouzi is dispensable and his attitude stinks. And that the combination of those two has led to the outcome that we've got now. Steve Stone asks, do you think our strikers struggle at times to keep up with Odegaard's vision? Interesting question. I do think at times our strikers are a little bit static in their movement. And I do feel like they're, you know, other strikers will make runs that the likes of Odegaard could potentially pick out. You know, I think, although he's kind of coming towards the back end of his career now, I think if you're a young striker wanting to learn about movement and the channels you should take up and the areas of the pitch you should attack, I think you need to look no further than Man United's Edinson Cavani. I appreciate he's not at the top of his career anymore, and he's on the way down and he's on the decline, and obviously he's over the hill a little bit. But you're talking about someone whose movement is as good as I've seen from a striker. In terms of not just getting into goal scoring positions, but running channels as well, making space for other people, popping up in the right place at the right time. He's got a real good understanding and reading of the game. And I just think he's fantastic at that. And I don't think that Alexander Lacazette or Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, in terms of their, I don't want to say football brain, because I hate it when people use that phrase and I think it's a little bit unfair and harsh. But I mean, I feel like they don't have that sophistication in their movement, and they're not ahead of the game like someone like Cavani in his heyday would be, to get into the right positions early and to make those moves and to always sort of manage to find space in against low blocks and in difficult situations. So it's not a lack of football in brain. I hate that saying and I think it's harsh. I just think they're not as maybe sophisticated in terms of their movement as some of the European elite strikers. Going to take one more question. This one comes from Connor McDonald, who says, thoughts on Anguissa at Fulham, Harry? I watched a lot of him this season. I think he could be a good addition to the squad, especially if Fulham are relegated. Yeah, I mean, when you look at that Fulham squad, he'd be one of the players that you'd imagine they'd be interested in. I'm not sure if I'd have him at Arsenal. you know, maybe I think about this too much as if I was the actual manager, but I always think about what it's going to cost and whether that cost is worth it. And you know, obviously that fee would probably drop significantly, or the asking price would drop significantly if Anguissa and Fulham were relegated this season. But I don't know, man. He's okay. Is he a major upgrade on what we currently have, though? Is he better than Sabaz? He's better than Elneny, I'd say, just. But, you know, is he much better? I don't know. Not for me, though. Not for me. He's not someone I'd be jumping up and down to sign. I'll take a couple more comments. Alcarp, get your comment in, mate. He says, sorry, Harry, I wanted to ask something but got caught up in the chat. Get it in now and I'll come to it next because I've got a dash. Cypriot Guna says, do you think there's any truth to the African billionaire wanting to buy out Stan? As I've said before, mate, it's all talk for me. Until he actually comes and tables a bid, I don't believe it. He's been saying it for ages and it just feels like someone just talking for the sake of it, trying to keep himself relevant, trying to make himself a popular figure amongst the Arsenal fan base. But, mate, where's the money? Show me the money, as they say. You know, if you really are serious about buying the club, if you're really serious about buying Stan Kroenke out, then act on it. And he hasn't acted on it. So for me, it feels like it doesn't feel like there's anything of substance to that. I've got to be honest. Last question. Alcarp says, if you could only sell one of them, Guendouzi and Torreira, who would you sell? This is an interesting one. I'm just going to have a look quickly because I'm not 100% sure when Lucas Torreira's contract is due to expire. I know that after this season, Matteo Guendouzi would have just one more year. Lucas Torreira's is 2023. So I'd sell Matteo Guendouzi now just because next year we'd have to lose him on a free. So I'd sell Guendouzi now if I could only sell one because of the contract situations. Torreira's deal runs till 2023. So he'll still have sell on value the next time the transfer window comes around. And that would be the basis of my decision. But yeah, I also think Torreira could potentially come back and get on with the management, right? And get back on track. Whereas Guendouzi, I feel like too much has happened. And so selling him would probably be the right thing to do. I've got to leave it there. And I've got to apologize to those of you whose questions I haven't got around to answering. Unfortunately, I've got work this evening, so I've got a dash. But I will be back later on with this week's edition of The Social Club. So stay tuned for that. If you join me for that and you've got any questions you want to carry forward, feel free to do so. I look forward to catching up with you guys later on. And until then, take care. Enjoy the Champions League.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.